Monday. I am a co-chairperson of the ad hoc committee that deals with the Constitutional Review Committee, to be specific on its title. My co-chairperson, Vincent Smith, is unfortunately out of town, so I would be chairing the meeting, chairing on his behalf as well. You are all welcome, and best wishes for 2017. And welcome, members. We want to be a busy committee this year. We are having a little bit of a backlog with our work. And this meeting is called in response to the decision of the committee, where we wanted to dedicate time to languages, so that when we finally consider the desirability of any requested amendments by the public or any such entities that may have requested the amendments, we are well informed on the going on what has happened with the relevant entities, PENSAL, the department, and the commission. So this work has a history. If the old members of the committee will remember, it started, I think, around 2005, 2007. So we're particularly with the SPD and then also to META. And it's also some of these requests here, the Kilobedu, are also part of the legacy of the previous term. So we think that the meeting of today, we then dedicated it to receive briefings, basically, on the status of these languages, so that then the committee at a later stage deliberate on the desirability for the requested amendment. Yeah, so we commending this agenda that has been distributed to you for today's meeting. Can we have a member to adopt it for us?
I move here for the adoption of the
agenda. Seconder? Yeah, thank you very much. Now we have officially the agenda for ourselves. We will then take apologies, Secretariat.
Honorable Smith, Honorable Mutseha, Honorable Bumrana, Honorable Majake, Honorable Magwebu, Honorable Swart, Honorable Mwabe, and Honorable Mamburu, and Honorable Kumbi said he may attend, but he's still on the way because he was on oversight trips.
All right. Some committee members, committee members are participating in other committees, and therefore they were out on oversight. So we note those apologies, and I would like just for easy navigation, ask members to introduce themselves. Over to you, members.
Perhaps before we will introduce ourselves on the issue of apologies, I take it that you know, perpetual absenteeism in the committee says something else, despite the fact that there is an apology. But if it's perpetual, it gives us another interpretation of fact about attendance of meetings by members. Because I can tell you, Chair, that there are other members who have never attended an think letters should be written to members and to be reminded of their commitment to the community. Or are they still interested to serve? I think it is important.
Point taken, honourable member. We would certainly look at the register at some point and alert members on them having sent constant apologies to the committee. Let's take introductions then.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bongani Thomas Bongo. I'm a member of the committee.
I am Tekwintilo Consolation Motla Shuping. I'm a member of this committee.
My name is James Self.
Good morning, I'm Amelilo, please.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Francois Beckman, member of the committee.
Yeah, thank you very much. The guest would introduce when they take up the session on the agenda and would introduce their delegation, so we try and save as much of minutes as we can. And we then proceed to the next agenda item, which is the briefing by PENSAP on those languages that are outlined or listed on the agenda. And then Dr. Munareng, you then introduce yourself and the team, if you have a team. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Robin Munareng. I work for PENSAP. I came along because we were involved in marathon of activities for the whole month with regard to the celebration of the International Mother Language Day. So I have distributed staff members to different provinces to deal with that. Thank you very much, Chair. I think I need to start with the presentation. The content, as you see, is basically capturing the request we received to handle today's session. The introduction, section 6.5 of the Constitution, enjoins the state to establish a PENSAP African Language Board by a national legislation to promote, create conditions for the development and use of the following: all official languages, Khoi, Nama, and sign languages, promote and ensure respect of all South African official languages, thus ensuring that they enjoy parity and equity. Promote and ensure respect for all languages commonly used by communities in South Africa, including German, Greek, Gujarati, Hindi, Portuguese, Tamil, Telugu, Urdu, and Arabic, Hebrew, Sanskrit, and other languages used for religious purposes in South Africa. Coming back to the issue of today, which is Sesotho Salivo, the lots of things started as early as 1988. We had what we then called Sesotho Salivo Language Board. In there is a document that needs to be scripted that talks about the validity of any given language to be recognized as an official language. It's called Spelling and Orthography Rule. So for a language to be given official status, it must have that so that it governs the rule and how the language goes on. There was some debate. Some people within the Sesotho Salivo Language Board felt that why can't we have Sepedi instead of Sesotho Salivo. Within the board, a debate ensued. And later, the board decided to appoint Professor Mawasha. Then he was working for the University of the North, to lead an ad hoc committee to investigate the facts so that it can assist the board to continue. A finding indicated that 64% of the respondents felt that we still need to maintain the Sotho Salabo. 34 were agreeing for Sebedi, while 5 was undecided. The board and PENSAL continued using Sotho Salabo as the official language to appear on this document. We've moved further to 2000. Yet another complaint was lodged within PENSAL by the very same colleague people that had worked complained before. PENSAL then issued a public call requesting the language speakers to make written submissions. Here it included those who were for Sepedi and those who still remain with the Sotho Salabo. The submissions that are found in the office and I only came to the office as the CEO of PENSAL in July 2016. All the submissions received, according to the records, indicate that people who wrote were people who were in favor of Sotho Salabo. PENSAL then resolved to keep Sotho Salabo as an appropriate official language. They issued a government gazette, I'm told, validating the stance. Then in 2006 and 7, CRL Commission and PENSAL jointly make a recommendation to the Constitution Review Committee requesting that Sepedi be replaced by the Sotho Salabo on the Constitution as an official language. A further recommendation was that the language speakers must be consulted. Resultantly, the 2010 public hearing were conducted. In 2010, the Joint Constitutional Review Committee conducted a public hearing in Limpopo, province, home of the language, in question on this matter. The Honorable Kosi Patrick Holomisa and Tumguni were co-chairing that committee. PENSAL attended the session on observer status basis. The first public hearing was conducted on the 1st to the 3rd of February 2010 in Greater Sekukune and Capricorn District. The second public hearing was conducted from the 6th to the 8th of April 2010 in Greater Zanin, Palabura, and Mohalakwena municipalities. Oral and written submission from different stakeholders consisted of Maoshi, universities, teachers, and general public were made. The observation of PENSAL. The first public hearing that took place between the 1st and 3rd of February 2010, Sekukune District. Most individuals were in support of Sepedi. Submission, a joint submission made by Marunding and Mafefe Royal Houses were in support of Sepedi. In Capricorn District, most people were in support of Sotho Salabo. Joint submission presented by Maoshi from Mofani, Waterberg, were in support of Sotho Salabo. Second public hearing, 06 and 08 April 2010, Mopani District, most individuals participated in support of Sotho Salabo. Waterberg District, most individuals participated were in support of Sotho Salabo. Joint submission made by universities, University of Limpopo, University of Venda, University of South Africa, University of Johannesburg confirmed that Sotho Salabo is an official language. This is expressed in their own language policies and they have got that as a curriculum that they will carry within their studies at the universities. Joint submission by Maoshi from Mopani, Waterberg, Mabulani were in support of Sotho Salabo. Among the key reasons mentioned, and as I said among is not all of them, first, those who supported Sotho Salabo said Sepedi is among the 30 dialects of Sotho Salabo spoken in Sekukune District only. It cannot be elevated above other dialects. Universities, Limpopo, Venda, South Africa, and Johannesburg confirmed that Sotho Salabo is a scientifically based label included in their policy and the curriculum. This label predates apartheid. Sepedi doesn't have either spelling or orthography rules or dictionary. Those who are supporting Sepedi, the Sotho Salabo is an apartheid construct. Sepedi is a dialect elevated to a super dialect status. So those are basically the key ones that we have been recorded. recent complaint. In 2016, the CLL Commission, it could be 2015 here, forwarded a complaint to CANSAL that requested inclusion and results and the results of the 2010 and 2011 Constitutional Review Committee on the Sesotho Salwa and Zimbedi problem. The complaint pointed to the violation of his right to his language, Sesotho Salwa, and the fact that lack of conclusion on this matter means that the hearing session were wasteful and fruitless expenditures of public purse by the Parliament. It is currently being handled as a high priority within our institution, which is CANSAL. We have also learned that an approach was made to the public protector, the former public protector, Mathieu Madonzen, upon which he referred the matter to Ndade J. Khadem in his previous responsibility as the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development. It emerged that it has been referred to his deputy. No progress has been reported ever since. I would like just to refer you to the constitutional review and the minutes that were taken so that we can look at some kind of snippet that I found very important for this discussion today. Just a pause. Okay. There seems to be some technical problem. I'll just speak to it.
There's no problem. We have hard copies with us.
There was some deliberation that delegates were called to this house to come and to talk to the members of the committee. The minutes have been captured on the internet that I picked up. I thought it would be reflected on the board, but it's part of my presentation that have been handled. I think you'll get the copies. I just want to quote some of the deliberation that might also lead to people having a bit of a concern about the lack of progress on this matter. Mr. Swart, in the discussion, said that there was a need to establish from a legal perspective whether it was an error of fact or an error of law that was responsible for the discrepancies between the interim and the final constitution. The committee needed to determine whether it was a political decision that was responsible for the fact that the bill was listed in English, the English fashion. It was strange that the issue was not raised at the certification hearing at the Constitutional Court, when there had been objection from many groups. The English text referred to Zimbedi. Was the text before the Constitutional Court at that time? There might be a need to look into the record of the constitutional deliberation or call Mr. Ramaphosa to ask him whether it was a political decision, an underhand move or an error. The committee was put in awkward position because different languages were listed in different translations of the constitution. This was continued. He said the committee should look at the cost implication of adding Sesotho Salwa to the English constitution and the Zulu translation and Zimbedi to the other translation. Section 82 of the Constitution states that the signed copy of the Constitution was conclusive. The signed version was English version. Constitutional disability language was in the strong position, but there was a strong case for Sesotho Salwa, as that was the official stance listed in the other Constitution. I'll quote another one. It's the late Dr. Odin Abrosini. He said that a bigger dilemma was why the government had failed to deal with this issue for 16 years. And if you add the current year from then, it's not 16, it's more than that. He hoped that the committee could rise to the challenge and in so doing embrace the importance of its roles. Mrs. Nguve raised the following point, and I'm only quoting a few stuff that I find relevant for today's discussion. She agreed that there was a need to look to the record to determine whether a mistake was made, and questioned what the implication would be if the record showed that it was not a mistake. She further continued, she cautioned that if another language were to be added now, no doubt this would lead to a claim from other language groups from official recognition of their language. The committee needed a strategy to avoid litigation and further complaint. Advocate Koo said he agreed that the committee needed evidence of the constitutional process and must consider constitutional court ruling. He suggested the parliament's legal advisors could give a presentation. Dadiswar then came in and said, agreed that if Sotsalwa was given status as a 12th official language, it could open the floodgate to demand from other language groups. However, he pointed out that the reference to Sotsalwa was already made in 9 of the 11 translations, so it could be argued that inserting it into English version would be giving it proper place there. That could serve to distinguish the situation if other language groups claimed that they were being treated unfairly if their languages were not given status. Mr. Koom said that the two languages in question were clearly related. There seems to be a general consensus that Sepedi was a dialect of Sesotho Salwa. He did not agree that the committee should consider adding a 12th language, but should rather amalgamate the two, as he suggested earlier. However, he noted that there could still be disagreement over the first, which language was named first. The chairperson, towards conclusion, the Temguni co-chairperson, said that the committee clearly agreed that the researchers had some work to do on what languages was in fact being used by the provincial government for official purposes and in official documents in Limpopo. Some of the presenters had said that the written form was a Sotsalwa, and yet it was referred to as a baby. The research should also look into the deliberation of the Constitutional Committee that prepared Section 6 of the Constitution, and why there was a discrepancy between the interim Constitution and the final Constitution. There was a need for political guidance to retain stability, especially given the upcoming municipality election. The Swart came in and said the delegates has established the fact that the committee has a fair amount of information provided from those sources. The fact that the co-chair made it clear to the delegate that they might not be called back to engagement meant that he effectively amended what was said at the earlier meeting around engagement, and he did not think that there would be a major problem if delegation were not called back. Mr. Nguves reiterated that the committee needed a clear plan from dealing with issues. Whether or not the delegate were called back, it was important for the committee to move forward with the matter, and certainly this issue must be finalized before 2014. She thought a time should be specified to complete the research and further consultation, perhaps by September. She noted that the NCOP members would be held accountable by constituency from their provinces for the fact that a major decision was taken, and so they might in fact need to be consulted. She thought all delegates should also be kept informed of the process that will follow in order to arrive at a decision. Co-chairperson and the Holomisa summarizes and said that it was not really necessary to invite the delegation back, and that they would be informed of the outcome after the research and consultation has been conducted. And the Temguni summarized the committee's research with assistance from the legal advisors and advocate H. Smith, who was present at the time of the constitutional drafting process, could help the committee to find the relevant records in order to determine in which direction the Constitutional Assembly was leaning at the time of drafting. He agreed with Mr. Mube that there was a need for the committee to come up with a program for completing of the task. The committee needed to ensure, as pointed out by delegates, that the communities were not disregarded. When the committee was in Popo, it was witnessed how explosive the situation was. The management committee would come up with a program for the committee to endorse, and the committee would then work according to the program. Ms. Matt added that at some point, the committee should seek an official legal opinion. It was possible that the entire parliamentary team, which has a permanent head, need to consider the matter for the committee. But if you looked at the presentation that I've made up so far, the complaints that have been raised most of the time was about the fact that it has been long overdue, people are not informed, and that was the main concern. And I hope that this committee would look at the matter further and make sure that it is developed finality. I will then move over to Kilobedu. The complaint was raised with PENSOL regarding the elevation of Sepedi over Sesotho Salabo. Balobedu, Mapulana, Baphuthi, Northern Ndebele protested against their speech varieties being regarded as a dialect of Sepedi, considering that the latter is as much a Sesotho Salabo dialect as they are. The first two speech committees submitted their complaint to PENSOL, CRL Commission, and different government departments demanding the same acknowledgement given to Spain. A visit by the President, the late President Mandela, to the late Her Majesty Queen Mokope Mujaji, resulted in her requesting that the then President acknowledges Kilobedu as an official language. And the main problem was that she felt that school kids are failing because they are being taught through the medium of Sepedi instead of Kilobedu, which was their mother tongue. PENSOL received more complaints to a point where it was deemed necessary to commission a research and to address this matter. Between 2001 and 2002, PENSOL commissioned a research headed by Dr. Ushio, funded by the National Research Foundation, the NRF, entitled "Is Silovedu a Dialect or a Language?" The finding thereof was that Kilovedu is among the 30 dialects of Sesotho Salabo. Recent development: I was, in my capacity as the CEO of PENSOL, invited by Kara Institute to attend a meeting set for the 16th January 2017, entitled "The Recognition of Queen Mujaji and Kilobedu Language." I obliged. The plan was discussed on how to codify the language in an attempt to make it ready for official domain. The Bible Society of South Africa pledged to assist. A call for the member of speech community to contribute in this process was made. The deaf community, the request for the recognition of South African sign languages as an official language has merit. Similar to the Nama, Khoi, San community, the request is much about rights, human, cognitive, and language. It is also much about dignity, inclusivity, and being humane, Wu too. Allocation of sign language to the province. What we did as PENSOL, we have allocated each and every province their own languages, and as a mark of respect and determination to ensure that we give respect to the sign languages, we have allocated Gauteng province to be the host of the sign language. We have appointed people to deal with issues related to sign language. We've also established the sign language national lexicographer. We're discussing the establishment of the sign language national lexicographer unit. We also are having what is called the national language body that is dealing with the sign language. So we're hoping that we will advance this beyond what it is currently. With the Khoi and the Nama and the San, the speech community of these languages are concerned that their languages are getting distinct. Nama, for instance, was taught up to grade 11 in Alexander Lane and State Cork, but has since been discontinued by the Northern Cape Department of Basic Education. PENSOL is handling the matter with the department to retain these languages to school syllabus. We have also, together with the community, spoken about cross-border links in order to create language, vocabulary, terminology with our sisters and brothers beyond the border in Namibia. The University of Namibia has got more resources about the Khoi and the Nama languages, and we felt that we need to resuscitate what PENSOL had in the past as a kind of an agreement to ensure that we learn from those brothers and sisters that side. Last year in October, we as PENSOL have launched the dictionary for the Nama language, which is called Koko Kowap. It has been distributed with the help of a professor coming from Namibia, but a South African by residence. We came up with a dictionary, and we feel that it's going to give them more expression in their own language, but it's focusing on only one of the core sign languages, which is called Nama. Pan South has established the national language bodies, which is called the KSNLB, to ensure that the development of these languages are carried forward. And we have also allocated the Northern Cape as a language, as a province, provincial offices in the province that host and responsible for the development of the Khoisan. This is done because the Khoisan and Nama communities are mostly in the Northern Cape, although this function that the province has given is spreading and taking care of this language nationally. We have already discussed with SABC at the moment to increase the coverage of the Khoi and San registration that is established so that it can be cover the entire province and even move towards nationally. We started discussion with the University of South Lakis at the initial stage because we felt that we need to establish the Khoi, San and Nama languages and culture epicenter. The reasoning behind that is that since the university is still a baby, it is better to oblige it to include the Khoi languages as part of their language policy. Because other universities have already been allocated the languages, there's no point for them to repeat. But besides that, it's important that these languages are taken care of. My conclusion, basically covering all the points that I've raised on Sesotho Sallowa, it is imperative, Sesotho Sallowa debate, it is imperative that the Constitutional Review Committee releases results of the 2010-2011 public hearings. This should lead to a conclusive settlement of this matter. It is a matter of human right and dignity. Such an act will engender public confidence to the institution of the parliament. Kilovedu, it is imperative that the speech committee starts with the development of orthography. It is also important to note that the process of creating official status for languages takes a while. We, as PenSouth, will be giving strategic advice and even trying to help when it comes to following the procedures of moving from a language that is not official to a language that is official. What is important, and that I think is important for me to raise here, is that an official language is an artificial form of communication. The real language in quotes are the ones that are referred to as dialect because they are the ones that that the official languages are created. So if any language comes in, or in quote, comes in and demands a speech committee and demands that their language is supposed to be recognized, we give them the chance. They do the presentation. They follow the processes of developing the language to official status. Deaf community, it is key to establish intelligibility among the speech community and to construct orthography. Again, it is very important to consider that because if we do not have that, currently the conception hasn't changed. If you move to official DOM, you need to have the rules that govern the language and you make it official. The Nama, Khoi and San languages, it will be important to agree on the principle of intelligibility again among the speech committee. What we have noted and what we've seen as PenSouth is that the Khoi, San and Sign languages have got languages that are grouped together, but mostly they are not mutually intelligible. So a hard work needs to be done there to see how we could extrapolate among those and form the languages that are intelligible for us to be able to come up with the official language for those languages. Again, you cannot impose this on people. We need to encourage them to find solutions. As I said, it is important that people should be aware that it is take much of hard work to ensure that a language is advanced as an official language. A focus on this variety only is important. If we focus on our own group of languages, Nama, Khoi and San, and then later move to another language, then our focus is split and it might take much of our energy and we might not move anywhere. All these languages are important. I think in my introduction I indicated that our function, as we've been created, is to ensure that we create the conditions and promote the development of official languages. But studies in languages will tell you that languages develop and go, and that the choice of official languages hasn't been done in a fair way, that some other languages and some other people will still come and demand or request that their languages, their, what is currently referred as a dialect or their dialect, should be regarded as a language. It is a continuous movement, continuous discussion, and we cannot hammer shout such kind of requests when they are made. The only thing is that the speech committee must be prepared to work hard to develop the language to the level of officialdom. Arishumeng, Tobela, Ngobo, Ngozi. Thank you.
Siyabonga, relevogile ntate. Honorable members, it's time to engage with the presentation, and just to bear in mind that a consideration of the submissions requesting amendments is will be in the program for us to then come to informed decision. This was just to assist all of us to further engage with the matter, form ourselves in further. I mean, form ourselves further with the matter, and hence this decision that we took to bring Pensal to engage direct with them and ask questions and interact with them to our satisfaction. So it's over to you to engage. In terms of the program, we will then engage at the, and just to also note that the item on the COI and the SUN is not part of the submission for the request to amend the constitution. So, but is a matter that is being in the public. So it was opportunistic of us to get pens out here and just to also brief us on that one. So we may want to also include that engagement with that one for clarity, but it's not part of the submission. All right, so it's open. Can we take hands? The list would be Honorable Bongo, Honorable Bjukman, Honorable Lodren, in that order.
Yeah, thank you. Coach Chairperson. And thank you, Dr. Mnareng, for the presentation. But as you present, I'm just getting a bit disappointed. It's like we are moving with a snail pace in whatever it be. You know that the creation of Pensland, it finds its expression from the constitution direct. And it's an expectation from us and the people of South Africa that some of these things, when they come to Pensaleb, they must be attended to as fast as possible. Because the spirit and the intention of the constitution was to promote national unity. So I don't think that we can today come here and read the minutes of what happened in 2010 already. The dates that are here in the presentation, the things were happening in 2010. And this discussion started long before 2010. But between 2010 until today, we are not able to say what is it that must happen exactly. Because from where I'm sitting, I think we are supposed to move with a serious speed in terms of addressing some of these matters. And it is yourselves who must bring some solutions, because part of what you must do is to bring solutions to the committee. So this is how, at a technical point, we think this thing must be dispensed, so that we will assist the committee to take certain decisions around these matters, because I see no reason why we should, in promoting national unity, why should we suppress these languages? It's worse with the sign language. You should have moved long time ago. because we're told that over 15 countries have already done that. And we've got reports as Parliament that the Balobedu, they can't pass their metrics and so on the basis of the language, because they are taught a language that they don't know. So why are unable to move with the speed in terms of ensuring that these issues are done, because we'll lose nothing. We are about promoting national unity in terms of recognizing some of this. And if we feel that it opens floodgates, we need to bring some regulation in terms of how do we, going forward, deal with this recognition. But there's no way, we can't speak about 2010 issues, Chair. I think we need to move with a serious speed in terms of making sure that we take the recommendations that are there and present them to Parliament. Because our people are waiting there and they feel surprised wherever they are, that we are not even recognized by the constitution, our language and so on, they can't pass at school. And they expect their parliament, as well as the parliament of the people. We need to make sure that the aspirations of the people are taken very seriously. So I'm suggesting that PENSLAB must bring a program in terms of what they want us to do quickly as parliament, because these issues were canvassed before. Not the issues, these are not new issues. They were canvassed, public was consulted. They need to assist us at a technical point to take decisions and present to Parliament so that Parliament can rubber stamp the decisions from this committee. I think from where I'm sitting, Chair, I think we're moving at a very serious snail pace, and our people are getting highly impatient about the pace we're moving in terms of dealing with the issues that affect them. I think this matter must be presented. This Parliament must not finish without us having presented and adopted some of the recommendations that have been agreed to long before in 2010. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. We appreciate the contribution and also the importance of indigenous languages. I just want one technical issue that was raised in the presentation. The speaker indicated that the Nama language was discontinued at two schools in the Northern Cape. I just want to know, was it a funding issue, a policy issue, or the uptake of the language? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also a bit concerned. I had hoped that we would have recommendations from PAMSEL regarding how this committee should decide in terms of these requests submitted to this committee. Now, in your conclusions, in terms of the Sotho Salibowa versus Sepedi, your conclusion is that the committee should release the results of the public hearing. I'm not quite sure what the impact of that would be. What I would like you to tell us is, given the whole history that you've gone through, the research that was done, the public hearings that were held, what is your recommendation to this committee? Should it be Sotho Salibowa? Should the constitution be amended? Or should it stick with Sepedi in the English version? And at this point, I also have to say this matter has been taking a very long time, but Chair, in all honesty, it is not only because of organizations such as PAMSEL, but it is also this committee's inability not to proceed with the matter and to take decisions, partly due also to a lack of quorum in most instances. I find a bit of a contradiction here. In all the research that was done and the public hearings, it was quite clear that the preference was for Sotho Salibowa as it being the almost the mother language with the different dialects, Sepedi being one of them. But then when it comes to Kiluvedu, the research indicated that that is also a dialect, but you don't express yourself on the matter that we now have a dialect wanting to become an official language, whereas it seems as you do agree with the fact that Sepedi as a dialect should not be a official language, because that would then open up for all other dialects to apply to become official languages. And then I would just like to know, in terms of DEFSA, I'm a bit concerned on your conclusion, bullet point, that it is key to establish intelligibility among the speech community and to construct an orthography. Now, as far as I know, sir, South African Sign Language is very far developed in that it is offered at universities as graduate and postgraduate courses. So clearly, I don't think this point really makes any sense at this point. Yes, those are my comments and questions.
Yeah, Dr. Munari, can you give your response?
Okay, hello, Mr. Chair. The first point is on the, maybe I should start with the recommendation that Rakgadi is requesting. The research indicates that Sesotho Salabo is basically the official language. That's the reading that we have picked up. My intention of doing this presentation was not to be conclusive. It was to openly discuss it so that you see how far we are. Then I'll be able to respond to further questions, as I'm trying to do now. The recommendation, as I said, from our side and that PENSALP has done, has been that Sesotho Salabo is the preferred standard language based on history and the deliberation that we gleaned in the discussion. The Kilovedi matter, I think you raised the point of the dialect and that requesting to be given status. Language studies will tell you that in choosing official languages, things were not done in a balanced form. There should be some languages and people's speech community that will come in and request to be recognized. So there is nothing wrong in Kilovedu requesting their position. The responsibility lies with them to follow the processes of being an official language, which I said is going to take a bit of a while. We will give them support just like we'll give any other person. The purpose of us as PENSALP is not to say we don't want other people to follow. They will still follow. We will need to find a mechanism on dealing with it. But when it looks at the element of the dialect of Sesotho Salabo, the initial proposition is that Kilovedu was part of Sesotho Salabo. The conflict erupted the moment you take another dialect and give it a super status and say the other dialects need to report to it in a technical sense because they are mother little things, they are mother of the bigger one. That became the problem. And that's why I mentioned different people saying we cannot, we'll rather have our own languages because the dialect is given status. We will continuously deal with the matter of dialect. I don't think we can run away from that matter. On the point of the NAMA, the reason that the Department of Basic Education gave in the Northern Cape was that they were going to rethink and come with a better way of dealing with that. It didn't make sense to ourselves. We intervened as early as a long time ago, and we're still working with them to find them to give conditions and promises and come back to with the plan that they said they were going to develop. For us, it's basically a human rights issue. For us, it's basically undermining the Khoi and San and the Nama community. We are working with them, as I've said, to the provincial office is working quite hard with them to ensure that these languages are going to go back to normalities in the curriculum. We have a program as PENSALP called Equitability of Language Use. The program is covering all the provinces. We have pinpointed schools to check which ones are in compliance with the multilingual language policy. And we looked at the schools that have got a bit of a problem, and we're trying to assist them, and take the schools that are basically doing well when it comes to multilingualism, and we are assisting so that they become the model of other schools. So the idea is that we look at all other provinces and take those kind of problems. So the main focus for ourselves is to make sure that we retain the Nama, because they have got orthography. They have got books. There were teachers that lost their work. One, because they were teaching that from grade 1 up to grade 9, grade 11. On the issue of DAFSA, it is true that it has been developed. We have got the National Language Body that is focusing on that. We're basically developing that to make sure that it's finally intelligible. I will just go back to refer you to the point that it is not basically fully representative of all people. People coming from the rural areas find it difficult to communicate in sign language with other people who are closer to the center. And when we talk about intangibility, we're talking about such things. We're looking at the village areas where you have got those people that might not be attending school, or that might be attending school, but they do not have access to those things. It is incumbent upon almost everybody, including the government, to ensure that more resources are given for these languages to go on. We need to strengthen it so that we do not have loopholes for people to say, stop, wait until you develop it. Same thing happens when it comes to the Nama, the Khoi and the San. You can't take them out of the school and say you're going to develop them further and bring them back. You leave them at school, in the school system, and it will progress as we go along. I think I covered everything. If there's no one that is missing, I would attempt it.
Person, just a follow-up maybe on the response on the Nama issue. I mean, I don't get a sense, when was the curriculum discontinued, for how long? I don't get a sense. I mean, it's a few years, is it a term or two? I just want to get a sense. What was the motive for stopping that? What was Ponsal's approach with regard to
that? The languages were taught, I'm just trying to refer to the papers I've got here. If I can quickly get that. But the story has been twofold. Initially, they allowed the language to go on, and later the school, the department withdrew, and then after withdrawal, we went back to them, engaged with them, they promised that they will go back. But the teachers have already been dismissed. I'm trying to check as I speak, to check the records if I can be able to give you the exact year. Perhaps I should forward you the exact date, but it's on two occasions. And the recent one, last year, we had a discussion with the Department of Basic Education there. Again, it's a matter of promise. It's a matter of saying we don't have resources, teachers are not there, but teachers are there. The resources is not something that I think is a big problem, because the community is not that big. So we will engage with them, continue engaging with them, because for us it's a human and linguistic right matter. But I will forward to the committee the exact date. I can't just get it from the papers I've got here. I'm sorry for disappointing you, sir. But I'll try sending this.
Right, you'll forward that to the secretary, Pat, here, yeah? And then Pat will distribute that. Dr. Munare, I think what we're trying to get at is that when, I mean, you're using terms like it's up to the speech community, your role is to promote. promote and this. But what we want, what we want to hear concretely from you is what is it that PenSouth is doing in your promotion of this. For instance, Kikilobed, putting a national language body, what does it mean? It means that you are now having started to provide for a process that will include research, which will do the assessment of the level of development of the language and those kind of things, so that then all of us come to a conclusion. Leave aside the issue of the political matters, whether it's about the disagreements in terms of the community and the groupings that are interested in their own identity, more than what officially and formally we are doing as government. So what is it that PenSouth, when you say it's upon the speech community, and who are these people in the speech community? Just language users, people who are interested in the languages, and what you are referring to, it's up to them. At a particular point in time, they will say, now we are ready, or you are involved, there's programs, there's projects, that includes, as I said, research and many other things. I think so that then at some point when we come to conclusions on this matter, we are able to say, okay, there was a process that the government has embarked upon, and it's blocked by the constitution for this language to realize its full use, its full identity, and its people enjoying their rights. I think help us to pass that hurdle.
Thank you. I would then address the kind of activities we're doing to deal with all the languages that we have mentioned. With the Kilovedi one, as I said, officially it's still regarded as a dialect. There is a move of wanting to take it out of that. We, as I said, we've been invited to participate in that discussion. I have indicated in the discussion that we will support them with dealing with the matter of moving from unofficial to official. It is still at infancy stage that we have been involved with that. We will further engage with them together with the Bible Society that have been agreed to assist us on that. So that will be on an element of supporting them. Finally, if an orthography is completed and then they do the presentation having the orthography, then we will probably be able again further to support the speech community. Because basically the technical advice or the technical service that we'll provide is when and how to draft an orthography. We are not going to be part of, remember, our function does not require us to take side, is to assist. We assist on the technical level so that finally the dream that the society requires will be able to be achieved. As I said, we have started that meeting and we hope that we're going to be moving further beyond that. We will eventually, as we go along, think of establishing the National Lexicography Unit that will assist with the development of dictionary. We would also indicate that we will also work with the development of orthography to assist in the development. When it comes to presentation, obviously we can't be at the forefront because the community is the one that is supposed to say this is our language we want it to go. We do not want to appear as if we are, well, for the lack of a better word, instigators. If a speech community is concerned that this is our language, it needs to be developed, then we'll open ways for that. remember, our constitution restricts us to official languages and the ones that are mentioned. But I said, based on language studies, our function is basically to give chance and to be aware that there will be languages that have been suppressed in the past. With the Sesotho Salwa, I've indicated that the position of Penn South is that Sesotho Salwa have been on record being the official language. The explanation has already been given. The sign languages, I said, there is a process. We are working with them. We have got official. We have officially established the NLBs, which is the national language bodies for the sign language community. We are working with them. We are developing the terminologies. We are ensuring that the language develops further. We do support, as I've indicated, their call for the languages to be official. We do not have problem with that. But we are saying there are some lacks that we need to cover, so that in our application to become official languages, we are going to, you're going to succeed. And this is the service that we'll be giving almost to them. And I say that with the Khoi and San communities, the activities that we're engaged with. They themselves have been allocated together with the San language community. They've been allocated provinces. Remember, if we were to focus only on the official languages, we were not going to focus, we were not going to give space to these two languages. Each and every province, as I said, is allocated a language. I'll give you an example. KZN have got South Sotho and have got isiZulu. Limpopo province have got the provincial offices is taking care of Xitsonga, Tshivenda, and Sesotho Salwa. So what we did, we felt that it is basically unthinking not to have the two languages allocated to a given province. And that's the kind of project that we're dealing with. I have indicated that we are in discussion with the management of the Sol Plaatje University so that we establish the epicenter, cultural and language epicenter of the Khoi and San and the Nama community. We are linking with the University of Namibia, as I said earlier, to ensure that they give us support. They are expert in the field. The language is well developed in Namibia. They have orthography, but we cannot just take it and copy it. We want to learn it. And again, in compliance with the multilingual approach, that we're multilingual national agenda of South Africa and the responsibility given to universities, what we want to oblige the University of Sol Plaatje is that take this language and make it the Khoi and San languages, and make it your official language. No university has been allocated that yet. So it is opportune for you to deal with the matter. So in short, those are the projects that we basically are dealing with. And we are hoping that we are on the sound footing.
Honorable Bonga?
Yes, Chair. I think the more the explanation, the more I get I disappear. Because I think what I'm expecting, because this committee must take decisions. What I'm expecting from the doctor is to give us a road map. Because now he's introducing some terms like the legs has not been done and so on. I don't know what that is. You know, I was trained as a lawyer. So this is complex. So I must be educated around this issue. I want a road map that will take us from where we are, where we failed to do in 2010, until we get inside Parliament to say the sign language is an official language for amending the constitution. The roadmap, those things that we must satisfy so that we can, when we get to Parliament and say we have satisfied everything at a technical level, we are ready to tell the people of South Africa that sign language is an official language. Kilobedu is an official language. So that we're able to tick from the roadmap how far we from us having to take that particular decision. So I'm just not getting that, and I want to be clear in my mind around those issues. The roadmap until we get inside the house and say, this is what we're doing now. I don't know whether that is clear, Chair.
Honorable Doctor, thanks, Honorable
Dr. Munare, I think the, in answering Honorable Bongo, is does the Constitution, because as the mandate of the committee is to sort relief where the Constitution is hindrance, the provisions of the Constitution is hindrance to a realization of a particular right by a citizen of this country. So that is where we're trying to get it. Does the Constitution, from where you sit with your mandate, as it stands, bears any hindrance to the realization and promotion of the languages, whether it's a dialect and them making a case, a justifiable case of the Constitution being a barrier for them to attain what they need to attain with their language and enjoying the rights that all of us have to enjoy with our own language groupings. So I think that's we wanting to hear the PENSAP's assessment in terms of its functions and mandate. Thank you.
The roadmap is something that we would need to construct. I think it's a joint responsibility between PENSAP and the speech community. Firstly, with the Sesotho Salua, I will tell you things are ready. You can go and present that there are enough evidence that the position is correct. The submissions that have been made and the interpretation we have got is that is ready. You can present it to the House and the Parliament and say this can be done. With the Kilovedi one, I think we'll still need time, and the time that we require will be something that will set with the community to indicate how long it will take all of us to reach to a point that the language can be official. The constitutionality of that matter is that they basically are denied of their right if they feel that the language is deemed to be official. The practicality is that we need to do hard work, and I think that's where we would need to sit with the community and draft a way forward on how long we need to go. With the sign language, the same thing. And I say that for us, I think we can present that and request in the Parliament that they do consider the sign language. The NAMA, the COA and NAMA, it will take us a while together with the same thing with Kilovedu. We need to go back and set in targets and indicate how long it's going to take us. And I need just to caution the committee that the process of developing a language to be official take a bit of a while. PENSAP cannot develop on their own. As I said, it goes back to the community. If you worry that your language is deprived, you will work and you will get assistance from PENSAP. We will probably assist you to achieve that, but we are not going to get into the integrity of moving forward. Firstly, we would need to engage the language speakers when we develop vocabulary. We would need, in the case of Kilovedu, to differentiate its grammar from Sesotho Salabua and from the remnant of Tshivenda and Seshona. That is not going to take 2 years. It will take a while. And we would need to get into a house, have the key or locked in the house, have the key thrown away, then we fight over how we are going to achieve that. Currently, if I were to move further, is that not everybody has got technical skill to analyze the element of Kilovedi as a language. We'll need to get scholars to assist us, so it will take a bit of a while. But for the sign language, the development is there already. So that's why I'm saying, I know that I might not be giving you the answer you want. Yeah, but I think the scope tells you where we are at the moment. The two are ready, the other one we still need to work, and I would need to go back and see how we're going to craft the way forward.
Honourable members, I think we've exhausted this engagement, and that going forward, the submitters have requested, we have requested the amendments would engage further with the committee in helping us to come to the ultimate the determination on, you know, we will be asking, I guess, the similar questions on the readiness of the language and issues that hinders or creates barriers in the constitution that create barriers for them as the speech community to enjoy full rights of the constitution in the spirit of what Honorable Bongo captured nicely, promotion of national unity and enjoyment of those rights. So going forward, Honorable members, we'll put this matter on in the, our interaction. You have a matter to raise again, Honorable Bongo?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think I agree with how you sum up. But I'm just worried because this matter comes from 2010 and beyond. And Dr. Mnareng says there are those that are ready. I think we need to package what is ready and send it to the House, because I think our people who are getting impatient that will run with these things for a longer time. If the sign language is ready, let's package it and take it to the House. If the Sesotho Sa-Leboa is ready, let's package and take it to the House with a view that we'll tell our people that we'll send a wage. You know what that means. It means there's work in progress. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. As we said, that it will be back into the committee, and then we take that decision on full determination of those that are ready, and in that way package them. The next people to make an input on these matters is the CRL, and I think they're here. We will introduce the team. Is the deputy chair with us? Yeah, you'll introduce yourself and your team. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to make an input into this very critical discussion. My name is David Mosoma, the Deputy Chair of the CRL Commission, and I wish to tender the apology of the chairperson, who is ill disposed due to ill health. I have with me here the commissioner, Commissioner Mabale. She is our language fundi with regard to Kilowelu, and we have Commissioner Dlamini, who comes from the sign language community. This will assist in expressing the agency. I think Honorable Bongo has carefully indicated to us the agency with which some of these issues are expected to be resolved by communities. I have with me the CEO, Mr. Mafaza, who will be presenting or making some inputs to us. We as CRL Commission, our mandate is to protect, which means we preserve that which is the languages of our people and our communities. And we need to promote, to make them popular, to make them, to ensure that they are used by communities and embraced by the communities. So we protect the rights of the cultural, religious, and linguistic communities, which is why the right to language is a critical one. In fact, it is said, he who controls the language controls the mind. So it's important that the people are able to become their own mind controllers by becoming attuned to the language they speak. I want to call upon Mr. Mafaza to make a presentation to this Order of the House. Thank you.
Chair, I may be a little bit lost. However, I think I'm not. They're going to make a presentation on sign language. And PenSnap in their presentation have already alluded to the fact that sign language have reached a particular stage, and you have then ruled that these things will be purchased before the committee, and the committee will make a proper determination. We have been already briefed about the status of the sign language and how we needed to speed up all processes and present before both houses. I'm not sure really what purpose is this presentation going to serve when we have already, you know, come to realize that this is a burning issue. It needs serious attention and immediate attention, and it is ready as presented by PenSnap. I'm not sure Chair must be advised otherwise.
We've invited them to make an input on the presentation, so I think let's give them an opportunity to present. They know what has been presented in terms of progress and things like that. I don't think they will repeat what the PenSnap has presented. So let's give them an opportunity.
We did not know what PenSnap was going to present. It could well be in some areas there may be some convergence. Please bear with us.
Inconsistent with any provision of the Bill of Rights.
persons belonging to a cultural, religious, or linguistic communities may not be denied the right with other members of that community to enjoy their culture, practice their religion, and use their language, and to form, join, and maintain cultural, religious, and linguistic associations and other organs of civil society. To promote respect for and further the protection of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. To this end, in order to promote and develop peace, friendship, humanity, tolerance, and national unity among and within cultural, religious, and linguistic communities on the basis of equality, non-discrimination, and free association. All of the above contribute to unity, social cohesion, and nation-building excellence. As set out in the slides above, the purpose of this presentation is to focus on only three languages, including a response to the alleged erroneous declaration of Sepedi as an official language. The three languages include Khoisan, South African Sign Language, and Kilobe. As we deal with the three languages, we are mindful of the fact that many languages are still marginalized. The CRN Rights Commission is hard at work to ensure that both diminished and diminishing languages are promoted and protected at all times. Now we come to the point of the status of the Khoisan language. The status of the Khoisan language must be perceived in the context of diminished languages. And to this end, the CRN Rights Commission conducted provincial engagements to identify and contextualize the language preferences amongst diverse languages spoken by the Khoisan community. It is interesting to note that the following languages are prevalent among the Khoisan community: the Nama, Kwikwa, Korana, and others. As indicated above, the engagement with the Khoisan community culminated into a national consultative conference where the following resolutions were passed. One, the Nama be developed and recognized as an official language of the Khoisan community. Number two, that Khoisan students be identified and sponsored by government to study Nama language in Namibia in order to become teachers of the language. To give effect of this resolution, CRN Rights Commission convened a seminar of the relevant government departments and other constitutional bodies to hand over these resolutions for implementation. These resolutions were also submitted to the relevant portfolio committee at the time through the submission of the National Consultative Conference report. Unfortunately, due to financial and capacity constraints at the Commission, these matters could not be followed up to determine progress made. I come to the South African Sign Language. We prefer to just do recommendations at the end of each language, so I've done the recommendations for the Khoisan language. The South African Sign Language was developed naturally, and deaf people have used South African Sign Language to communicate for centuries, in spite of its history of oppression by the wider society. South African Sign Language will continue to exist for many more centuries to come, in line with the saying, as long as there are deaf people, there will be sign language. South African Sign Language has 1.6 million users, in terms of the statistics. There are 45 deaf schools within 18,600 learners in South Africa that use South African Sign Language as language of learning and teaching. Now, in the slide that I have provided following that, we had actually given a scenario which the Honorable Mr. Bongo alluded to earlier on, that there are a number of countries that have already recognized these languages, and indeed we agree with you, Honorable. But it is also important that we should indicate that in Africa, Uganda was the first country that recognized sign language. In South Africa, the sign language has received highest support from the President of the Republic when he announced in the State of the Nation Address that sign language should be implemented in schools. Similarly, the Minister of Basic Education, in response to the President's call, introduced South African Sign Language for grade 1 to 12 as a language of teaching and learning. The status of the sign language currently is that it is available in school curriculums and it has its own dedicated dictionaries. Of critical importance is the fact that three South African universities, as was covered by PEMSA, DUT, UFS and VETS, are offering sign language courses. The Sierra Rights Commission recommends that the South African Sign Language be recognized as the 12th official language. We come to the point of the status of the Kilobedu language. Balobedu is a community mainly based in Limpopo, although also scattered throughout the whole country. This community settled in South Africa way back in 1600, and the language spoken by this community is known as Kilobedu. The community's population is plus minus 2.4 million. The Balobedu community requested recognition of their language way back in 1996. This request was also registered with the Constitutional Court of South Africa in June 6, 1996. In 2009, the Sierra Rights Commission received a complaint lack of recognition of Kilobedu language. The commission then conducted a pilot study to investigate the non-recognition of Kilobedu language to affirm if it was a communal consent. After affirming the consent in 2011, the Commission made its submission to the Constitutional Review Committee as an intervention strategy to resolve the challenge faced by this community. We, however, still await the response from the committee. Sepedi versus Sesotho Saliboa. Outcry by members of various communities in Limpopo alleging that Sepedi has to be changed to Sesotho Saliboa. Sepedi is elevated over other dialects of Sesotho Saliboa. These are the issues that people are raising. Learners from other communities of Northern Sotho are forced to learn Sepedi, not their own mother tongue, and that contributes to the high failure rate, as it was indicated by the previous speakers. There are those who consider Kilobedu as another dialect of Northern Sotho. However, the Balobedu people differ from this opinion, and we want to emphasize that point, especially when they are more than 2.4 million. While Section 6 of the final constitution entrenches Sepedi as an official language, Section 3 of the interim constitution made provision for the Sotho Saliboa. This has led to the dissatisfaction among Northern Sotho speakers. They allege lack of consultation and transparency. The Commission investigated this matter by looking into the discussion documents from research initiated by PENSAL. The Commission had a meeting with Makoshi of the Capricorn districts of this matter in 2011-2006. From the meeting and discussion documents, it is then clear that most of the people speak in one voice that Sepedi be replaced by Sesotho Saliboa. Now, our recommendation to this committee is that the committee, where possible, must still engage the affected communities in resolving this matter. And the committee should consider amending the constitution by replacing Sepedi with Sesotho Saliboa. In our conclusion, Chairperson, the matter of protecting and promoting linguistic rights of both diminished and diminishing languages in South Africa is central to the work of the Commission in building peace and fostering tolerance between and amongst communities. Now.
Inda, Honorable Pukman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I've got a dilemma with this presentation, apart from the fact that there's no dates related to the acts, and I want to go to the unnumbered slide that says, unfortunately, due to financial and capacity constraints at the Commission, these matters could not be followed up to determine progress made. Now, it relates to the NAMA issue. What's the issues? In terms of identifying students and also liaison with government departments. Now, you're a Chapter 9 institution. It's correspondence and meetings. That is the tools that you use to follow up. Now, you come to this committee, you're coming to Parliament as Chapter 9, and you say you couldn't, you know, follow these matters up due to financial capacity constraints. I mean, if I look at the other Chapter 9s, they follow up. So really, so you can't come to Parliament with this presentation in expect from us to accept it. Really, I mean, it's issues that's been on your table, you've dealt with it, but there's no progress, no dates. So please, Chairperson, we really need a much more detailed presentation to get a you know, view on the matter.
Honourable Bongo?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And thank you very much for the presentation. Although Honourable Mulashu being wanted to shoot you down even before I present. But I tend to, you know, I think, you know what Parliament expects from presentations generally, that they must be technical with a view of assisting us to take decisions. Because we're a committee of Parliament that is meant to take decisions. So the only people we rely on are technical people who will give us the dates, what are the issues at a technical level, so that we make decisions at this level. Not presentations that will also make us to start to think for next, exactly now, how do we solve the problem? But there is general consensus that we need to move the speed of a mirage around these three issues. We had already agreed, because this government that we're in is the government of the people, for the people, by the people. So we've got to adhere exactly to that. We need to do what the people are saying, but it will appear that people have already expressed views. We just need, like I was saying, we need a roadmap on how to get these issues done. So we appreciate the presentation, and one issue which I'm interested on, particularly on this one of yours, because this is a constitutional review committee. We have seen a lot of things around the issue of pastors using dooms and so on and so forth, which creates some also erosion of our society. And when I look at you on TV, you're responding by saying, no, these people must approach us if they feel abused. And I take those that thing as human rights abuse. And Section 38 of the Constitution says, if anyone feels that human rights are violated, it does not need to be. It may be a person acting on his own capacity. It may be a person who acts in the community interest, a person who's acting in a group of people. So I don't know how to reconcile the issue that you're saying. People must come and complain about these issues. And on the other hand, the Constitution says if anyone feels that the rights in Chapter 2 are violated, he himself can act in the interest of the people whose rights are violated. So that is an issue that I think we have to look at. But secondly, how far are you in terms of providing some regulations to say the minimum standards in terms of what people must do in terms of these abuses? Because when you come to Parliament, you must be able to brief Parliament around those issues and provide everything, the dates and what we've done in this time and so on, so that we feel we are moving together. Because we need, part of the responsibility of this government is to build a caring society in which everyone lives in peace and harmony. So we are relying on yourself, the Chapter 9 Institution, which is very important, that must deal with that aspect. So I think those are the contributions that Parliament wants. How do we regulate or change the Constitution towards ensuring that it assists the people of this country? I don't know whether you want to comment on that. Chair, thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Bongo. Members of the CRF, the latter part of Honourable Bongo is he's raising concerns. In a matter that is in the public domain as a public representative. But the key subject is former part of the question in terms of, you know, the roadmaps and the dates, including what Honourable Pukeman has said. I think you are at liberty to really go deeper on it, but the latter part of Honorable Bongo's part, it's, as I said, it is a matter that is in the public domain and a consent by the public representatives, all of us in Parliament, in terms of what's happening within the religious community, but don't dwell on much on that one.
Thank you very much, Chair. And then maybe the Deputy Chair will add after all. Perhaps let me start with that last part of the question that came from Honorable Bongo, that the Commission is actually organizing a joint sitting to present the report in March with clear directions in terms of what we would want to see happening and where we would think that Parliament can actually assist us in dealing with some of the challenges that we have raised in terms of the religious sector. Of course, in terms of the issues of saying they should come and report, it's quite important for us, especially when we get to courts and start debating the issues. We need somebody to have reported the matter, but we are assisting those within their mandate that are trying to deal with the matters. We are together with them, and we are advising them. They are not moving alone. When you see them in courts, we are sitting with them. The other question of our presentation, we feel as a commission that we are saying to this committee, amend the constitution in order to include these languages that we are talking about. And we think that is very, very key, that the committee should then follow the processes that are supposed to be followed in order to amend the constitution. We are satisfied that these languages that we're talking about should be part of the official languages. And that is our biggest submission we're making to this committee, to say, please amend the constitution. That the languages are ready, the sign language is ready. I've given the scenario, given what the Minister of Basic Education is doing about it. The Nama language, we are saying, we can use the Namibia as a model, for the language. So it's readily available. Kilovelu, developing dictionaries, and so on and so forth. So I think if you amend the constitution, these languages will are readily available to start functioning in schools. The other question of the Chapter 9 coming to the Portfolio Committee to say, due to financial constraints, we couldn't do certain things, but it's a reality. The CRS Commission only have their offices in Johannesburg, and we're saving 9 provinces, 52 million with 30 staff. And we've raised this in different platforms, to the Portfolio Committee, to Treasury, even this last year. We've done that. We're the least funded organization amongst all the Chapter 9 institutions, spending at 36 million. It becomes very difficult. We don't have enough human resources, a senior manager operating with just an administrator, legal services just with an administrator. So it becomes very difficult. We don't have field workers, and it's a reality. At some stage, our units were budgeted 40,000 for a financial year to operate. How do you go to Northern Cape? How do you begin to call this Khoisan community to engage them? So in the process, we're also saying that we should be heard so that we can also effectively implement our mandate, particularly when it comes to resources. There, you go to the Traditional Affairs Portfolio Committee, they know that we are always requesting that. You go to the department that we receive the vote through, the COCTA, they know how many letters we have written. You go to the Treasury, they know. So everybody, but nobody is doing anything to beef up our financial resources so that we can effectively function, even with the project that we are seeing now.
the religious
person, one. Chairperson, on a point of order, I mean, the reality is the monitoring function by Chapter 9s, a lot of it is done by technology, or by letters, or by consultation. That doesn't need a huge travel budget. The two instances you referred to in your documents with regard to the Noma people, it's follow-ups in terms of correspondence. That doesn't mean a big bureaucracy. That's the reality. That's what we say from our side.
Let me respond to that question. I think it was last year, early last year, people were requested to write down resolutions which were referred to other departments, which we did. And the issue of implementation is a critical, because we can't, even if we get responses that this has not been done, you know, from departments, this is, which is what often is the case. That's where the real problem is. Because we actually, even Parliament has a compendium of the lists of resolutions referred to other departments for implementation, because that's part of the partnership and collaboration that which is required to execute our job. So I think the emphasis here is just to raise the issue of the resources, but it does not imply that we are not actually forwarding and even talking to our sister department with regard to implementation.
I think the advice really from honourable members to the commission is that the list that should happen is that when you set out a project or an activity, you should have a way of concluding it and make follow-ups on it. I think it's a good advice, and let's take it in that light, and let's conclude on the remarks if you still have to make any final comments on the matter before us, on the last status of the languages. But the COA has concluded quite nicely now. Any final say? All right. We're proceeding then to get... we have the Department of... there's a hand. Can you... you're part of the commission?
Yes, Chair. I'm part of the commission.
Okay.
And I just wanted to comment on the issue of Kiloviru. Firstly, I wanted to comment on the concern that was raised by Mola that why Kiloviru is a dialect, but it wasn't. It's surprising why is it coming up to be a language. So I think perhaps if she's informed, she may understand why the situation is like this. Earlier on, it was alluded to the fact that Queen Mujaji V made a request to the late President Mandela, may his soul rest in peace, about the recognition of Kiloviru as a language because of the problems that were stipulated. And the other problem was in the identity books, the Dompasses that the Baloviru had, they were classified as group Northern Sotho and then tribe or stam Mopedi. So I have copies with me here. So that incited the Baloviru to not become Vapedi. And Northern Sotho and Sepedi are more or less related, but Kiloviru is arbitrarily classified as Kiloviru, perhaps because there were no Baloviru to can come out and talk for themselves by that time, because of the dignity that was involved. If you talk Kiloviru, you are foolish, you are dumb, and so on. So the other reason, which is very recent, the Honourable Mr. Bongo was against the history, but recently, on the 31st March last year, the President Zuma signed a proclamation that the queen baby is elevated to the status of a queendom. Therefore, if you have a queen like King Zwelithini and the language it's not there, it's sort of ironic. And then on the 18th of July 2016, the Honourable Minister Van Rooyen from the Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs went down to Mujaji place and announced that Kiloweru is elevated like the Queendom of Kiloweru to be an official language. So those are the recent developments that we have. Now I wanted to comment about Pansel's concern of orthography. During the consultation of the traditional leaders, academics from the other universities, as mentioned by Dr. Munari, on that day, the Sierra Rice Commission also presented its report because of the request by the two joint constitutional review chairpersons that Sierra should consult with the Valuid and provide a report to that extent and advice. And then there was a booklet of orthography. I would say it's an attempted orthography because it doesn't touch everything. It needs also to be thoroughly researched. What I'm trying to say is there is a move towards coming up with that orthography. But the Baluweru were very much reluctant to develop their corpus because they were not sure whether it would be recognized as a language or not. So they thought perhaps it may be a waste of time. But as I speak, CRS made some researches and found that there are a lot of Baluweru elite, and even those who are just interested, even if they are not literally viable, are writing, they are busy writing the literary gems in Kiloweru. So I wish to say to Pansel that it may not take a long while because something is being done presently. But the Sierra Rice Commission is happy that Pansel is prepared to go with us along the way. And as a result, we plead with the Constitutional Review Committee to also help the Sierra Commission and Pansel in reviewing the status of the Baluweru, including the other languages too. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for clarity. We do have that record, so it's on record. You're motivating further for what we've already given undertaking on, that is we will speed up the processes on these languages as the CRC in helping to with the determination as requested by the submitters wanting the amendments to the Constitution. Let's take the department before I lose my members. Departments of Arts and Culture, Ms. Monica Newton, right? Yeah, so you'll introduce your team and and take us through.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Thank you very much for the invitation to the Department of Arts and Culture to join you at the panel today. I'm hopefully going to have a bit more success with the technology than we've had before, but in essence, I think that there's been a lot of repetition in the presentations today, so I think in the interest of time, I think I'll move quite swiftly through the presentation and really just try and sort of sum up some of the key issues that relate to what the DAC's perspective on this matter is. I'm joined by my colleagues, Dr. Mbolelo Jokweni, Chief Director of the National Language Service, and Sipho Mangani, who is the Acting Director of the National Language Service. I'm a generic box standard public servant. My colleagues are the language experts, so you'll forgive me if I defer to them as there are any questions of a technical nature. What I wanted to start the presentation by doing was just to point out that there are a lot of stakeholders in what we call the language system. And in essence, the Department of Arts and Culture's National Language Service mandate deals with official languages. So in essence, our job is to implement, essentially. And so the purview of PANSELB, certainly, and of course CRL, is really to deal with the matters at a much higher level on a constitutional level. So in our context, we develop, promote, and protect all official languages through policy formulation and implementation, for example, the Use of Official Languages Act. PANSELB has the mandate, of course, to monitor the implementation of that, and they will be having hearings in the next couple of weeks on the implementation thereof. To render translation and editing services to government, we do this in all official languages as well as foreign languages. To develop and disseminate specialized terminologies for all official languages, again, we do those in all official languages. We're working on pharmaceutical terminologies at the moment. We've done arts and culture. We've done specialized terminologies in the cases of, for example, the World Cup. We've done HIV/AIDS terminologies as well. A very exciting field, developing human language technologies in all official languages. We've been working with tools to make translation more efficient through the Altramorto system. We've been working with the Library of the Blind, which is one of our institutions in Grahamstown, to develop text-to-speech technologies, which are a very exciting field. And of course, as more official languages get added to the portfolio, so our portfolio grows as well. And of course, to facilitate and support skills development in the language profession through a bursary scheme that we work with a number of universities on, and of course official languages, but sign language is included in that portfolio of bursaries. Now, not to make too fine a point, because I think that PANSELB and CRL presented very eloquently on their mandates, it's very clear that their mandates are much broader than ours. They speak to promotion and development of languages and linguistic communities far beyond the official languages as designated in the Constitution. So really, the competent authorities with regard to engaging with the panel, engaging with community stakeholders on this issue, are certainly PANSELB and, of course, CRL. Now, in essence, and this is largely descriptive, but I think that it's important to recognize that we started these consultation processes quite a long time ago. So for us to assume that consultation in 2010 might still be something that we can base a constitutional amendment on, given the structures and matters pertaining to the rules about how to amend constitutions, we may need to take a bit of care to do a bit more consultation. Because in some cases, decades have passed, in some cases, 7 or 8 years have passed, and we might need to touch base with those communities again because things have changed. And I know that that's not necessarily what the committee wants to hear, but I think that collaboration between the two stakeholders, very particularly PANSELB and CRL, can begin to give us that roadmap that would allow us to look at that process of moving forward. And our recommendation is very much that PANSELB is the competent authority in this regard, and that further consultation, because obviously both PANSELB and CRL have spoken about consultation processes, research, consultation with experts that's been done over a number of times. Already there have been statements to say some agendas are far more advanced than others, and perhaps all of those now need to be mapped into some kind of framework that allows us to understand which ones are ready, and if that readiness prescribes an immediate presentation to Parliament, how do we engage with stakeholders before we take that very, very important step forward? So, obviously the Department of Constitutional Development and Justice is a fundamental partner in this process because they would essentially put forward any of these key recommendations. It's hugely encouraging to hear the work that's being done on sign language, the integration into the curriculum. And in essence, one of the things to begin to consider is the emotive elements to all of this. Mrs. Tom, who is the chairperson of our portfolio committee, has a saying. She says, "Your language is your culture, and your culture is you." And at the end of the day, a lot of these consultations will be about people and how people interact. And so there's no right or wrong answer. There's not a technical solution here. There's not a methodology or a formula that is necessarily going to churn out the right answer. It's the quality of the process, the gap, the scope and scale of the consultations, the fact that we're talking to the right people at the right time, that will begin to give that effect to that notion, the will of the people for the people through the Constitution. And really, ANSOG is the institution with the core mandate. Obviously, CRL has done a substantial amount of work specifically in the Khoisan languages as well. And so it's really incredibly important that all of us get together and actually start working in a far more structured way to move this agenda forward. And the Department of Arts and Culture will support this in any way possible. But certainly our role really comes to the fore when the official languages are incorporated into the Constitution, and then essentially our portfolio grows and expands. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That was an exceptionally truncated presentation. I hope that I've not been overly superficial, but I'm sure questions will help us to substantiate some matters if necessary.
Honourable members, Honourable Self, Honourable Bongo, and Honourable Rodri.
Thank you, Chair. I read the presentation in full, so thanks for the truncated introduction to it, overview of it. But I think that the previous questions that were asked related to a process or a roadmap that should guide a recommendation coming to this committee. And it's quite clear from your presentation that there's huge overlap between PANSEL and the Commission. And it seems to me from listening to the two presentations that in a sense these two institutions have been following parallel processes. And surely it's either your job or somebody's job to try and coordinate the efforts so that we don't speak with multiple voices, if I can use that expression, but that we consolidate these presentations or the recommendations, and that we have a coherent set of steps that's going to take us from where we are at the moment to where these communities want to be.
Yeah, I think exactly my point, what Honourable Self is raising. I don't know, Chair, at what point, because at least the CEO of PANSEL, CEO of CRL, and obviously representing the DG. Because I think we need some coordination at a technical level, so that the presentation that comes to us at least have inputs from all the stakeholders involved, so that we have one presentation. It's also my observation that we are moving in parallel ways. And we must take note that this matter is long overdue. The presentation, they're saying the issue of kilowatt was raised as early as 1996. And we're almost 23 years into this democracy. So we may have to have the three institutions working together very closely. And at your level, Chair, maybe they must also now develop a roadmap with serious time frames on how do we move forward taking these matters. But I think I appreciate your presentation. Ma'am, it was a good overview. But you now hear, you know, what the committee's sentiments around what must happen. Mm-hmm. So we've got to cooperate with one another. So when we present here, we're able to get not only a view of one sect, but a view of everyone, so that we consolidate. And time frames will be very important, Chair, going forward, so that we can dispose of those that we are able to dispose of at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a comment and a concern that if I read through this presentation, one almost gets the impression that not much has been done and that PANSEL and the CRR are requested to now start with these negotiations and talks and consultations. However, we sit with a large body of reports on these consultations undertaken by the different institutions, even this particular committee. I've been in this committee since 2011, where we discussed these matters, and I'm extremely concerned that we now move to a point where we are it's recommended to us that this whole process should almost start afresh. So I have a concern with that, and my question perhaps to the department is, what is your view on the status of all the work that has already been done, and shouldn't it rather be a matter, as Honourable Self has said, that you just now have to collate whatever has been presented?
Very much, and I'll ask my colleagues to come in as well. And I think that there is a substantive body of work that has been done, and I don't think the sense is that we start from scratch, but I think that we recognise perhaps that feedback loops haven't been perfect, we haven't necessarily gone back to constituencies to talk about some of the technical issues, that we've let quite long time lags take place between one discussion and perhaps the conclusion of a discussion, and I think that that's really where the recommendation of the department is, that we need to go back and tell people about what's been happening and get their consensus on a way forward. So apologies for not making that a clearer statement. But I will certainly allow colleagues to come in. Dr. Joaquini?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and colleagues. I think because the other input from Honourable Pongo was an advice, and it's very clear, the issue of consolidated presentation. So I won't really dwell on that one. But with regard to the comment by Prof, Professor Lothridge, I do agree with you that the impression that is given by this presentation is that there hasn't been any research previously, or reports or surveys or anything for that matter. But the reality is that perhaps is something that we should have foregrounded here, to say that the input that the department is giving was the input that was solely based on the request that the department should come and make advices. The rest of the reports that we have seen were not presented to the department at that same time. So basically, all in all, we are basically agreeing with you to say that the issue of emphasizing consultations is more like saying go back, but we are then presenting a reason for that, to say that these reports and these researches were previously not known to the department, and it is evident even from those reports that the department was not involved. I just wanted to give clarity to that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. And I think, Chairperson, further to the issue of collaboration, to some degree of overlap, in fact, the National Treasury did a very extensive research project that looked at the performance of the national language system and certainly did identify some areas of overlap. But I think that what is clear is that we haven't necessarily been working in a coordinated and group-oriented manner, and that's really what has to change. Whether or not the department is best placed to coordinate this, or whether or not PANSELP is perhaps best placed to essentially be the anchor for this process, I think is a question that perhaps we can have a sort of a more technical level discussion on back to the committee about how we're now going to take this roadmap forward with roles and responsibilities, timeframes, deadlines, and those kinds of things. And of course, taking into account the committee's sense that perhaps rather than sending things in one large group, one should be looking at a phased approach where as things are ready to be tabled, to be given an indication of process to constituencies and communities that have been waiting for a very long time for the outcome of this process. So, and again, not necessarily wanting to commit the Chapter 9s above my pay grade to a particular process, that is my suggestion, perhaps, is that we get together and we make a proposal to the committee to say, right, this is how we're going to take this process forward.
We're all in agreement, right? The CRL and the PANSELP, you agree with that proposal?
acceptable, reasonable, cost-effective proposal. In fact, working together is what is the name of the game, because we serve the same purpose. So it is important that at least at some areas, like the roadmap of actually achieving what we set out to achieve, working together, I think, is the good thing to do.
Yes, I think it's cost-effective to do that. But at the same time, we're coming from two different vintage points to feed into the system. We're working together, we'll always be okay. What I just needed to pick up is, what roadmap are we going to be constructing? Already there's a joint view that for the first two languages, the recommendation is that they can be submitted beyond. So I needed us just to be specific here, that if we were to draft a roadmap, it will be a roadmap for Kilovedu and the Khoisan, because there's a universal consensus that the other two will be taken by the committee to the parliament for endorsement. Am I right?
Yeah. I think the committee has expressed its view, and the view of the committee is that we'll take these submissions in packages and consulting when necessary, but those that are ready will be processed by the committee. So the roadmap really, and particularly from you, Pensap, you mentioned that, you know, there's a different view from you and the CRF. You as Pensa have said that the other languages are far away, and CRL says it's not far away. So we think that there's a convergence point that is necessary for you to then come to an agreement. And I think the department is saying to the committee that as a department, they obviously, once the portfolio, I mean, once the languages are ready, they add into the portfolio. So they are inviting the process to go. So already there are elements of the roadmap starting. So our view going forward, and as the committee has expressed, is that we are now going to put on the program these measures. And if necessary, you'll still be invited. By that time, we hope you'll have met and have developed some kind of coherence and roadmap, as Honorable Self used that word, coherent, because we have evidence. And those who feel that they don't have evidence to agree with any of the stakeholders, we will all have the time to assess, as the committee determines, what is ready and what's not ready and what is the way forward. So the consideration, the formal consideration of the submissions will follow and will be put into the program. And if necessary, the committee decides to invite you, you'll still be invited. I think then we've come to the conclusion of the meeting, unless there's any member who has a matter to raise. And I do want to thank our guests first, stakeholders that came to brief us, and please take the advice of the committee on some of the aspects directly related or indirectly related to the business that we had today. And thank you, members, for your time. It's really appreciated. Thank you, Secretariat, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.